Hello everyone. So this a bit of a mouthful of a title. So basically the name of the software project, what you should remember, is CVMFS. Before we get into the content, we'd like to suggest you visit our BOF session. And the open source at CERN stand at KE level 1. And now for the George will speak.
Yeah, I'll get it just. Is this all right? Perfect. I think I need to do this first. Here. Or here. Yay. Okay. Hello. I'm George Yorgos, Georgios Christodoulis, whatever. And I'm a CERN fellow working in the EPSFT group since 2025, and especially in the CVMFS project. And today I'll talk to you, like I'll give a brief introduction to CVMFS, and then I'll talk to you how can we benefit from using CVMFS on containerized workflows. So something that I was not actually aware of before landing at CERN is the amount of data that that experiments in high energy physics and particle physics are producing. Just the CERN data center is storing more than 30 petabytes of data per year, and there is dedicated software to process them. And of course, this software cannot operate only locally. It has to be distributed all over in laboratories all over the world. And this is the main mission that CVMFS came for. I'll just use a small time slot here to mention EASY. I guess most of you should have already heard about them. It's the European Environment for Scientific Software Installations, whose mission is to provide a uniform experience for people that are working with scientific software. To have a transparent experience regardless of the underlying system they are working on. Probably you're familiar with the stack. CVMFS is in the file system layer of this stack. Actually, they have, I trust, pretty good presentations tomorrow in the HPC dev room. I totally recommend attending there. So, CVMFS, what is it? It's a read-only file system in the user space, and I think a good metaphor to think about it, it is like an on-demand streaming service, but for scientific software. So software in CVMFS is organized, grouped in repositories that, in principle, do not live on the user's machine. And CVMFS, from the user's perspective, is providing a normal POSIX browsing and accessing experience to those files. So we can do like listing or data accessing. And what's the take-home message here is that those files are not present on the user's machine. They live elsewhere, and they're being downloaded on demand. But how does this work? So CVMFS under the hood is using Fuse. And Fuse comes with a kernel module and a user space library. So every file system access is forwarded through VFS to the kernel module and then in the operating system. And CVMFS is implementing all the necessary read-only system calls to enable the user to access the file. So in principle, if the file is present in the local storage, it will be used directly. If not, it will be fetched from the network. But how data becomes available to the user? So we start from a normal read-write file system, And then we follow a process called we call publishing. And what's happening under the hood is compression, chunking, and we use Merkle trees to sort our data in a content addressable format, which means that basically in order to access our data, we don't use the path or their name, we just use their content. And this allows for deduplication, which practically means that the same file or chunk is never stored twice, which saves pretty much a lot of logical space. We have an overview of the order of magnitude of that later on, talking about the Unpacker repo. Of course, then once we have the data in a content addressable format on some server, then they become accessible from the user's client just by using HTTP. And I guess it's pretty intuitive that users' storage is not unlimited, so we use an LRU cleanup policy to respect the available space. So some numbers here. This is the evolution of the four principal repositories that CERN is hosting with CVMFS, plus the unpack.cern.ch repo that we will talk about later. At the moment, CERN is distributing over 2 petabytes of data using CVMFS, more than 8,000 container images, and around 290 repositories. And something that came along the way is that besides being a very good tool for software distribution, CVMFS has also evolved to be a nice tool for software preservation. So a small parenthesis here to talk about container images, and then so how CVMFS is used to facilitate a container image distribution. So in principle, container images are file system layers that are stored in an unseekable and unindexed file archive, and this practically means that if we need a specific tiny portion of the archive, we cannot access it directly. We need to have access in its entirety, decompress it, and then access it. Usual container images in the physics sphere is around in the order of magnitude of gigabytes. And we end up using a tiny fraction of it. So we'd like to have a way to be able to access only the essential parts. So this is already been there. Containerd allows for providing snapshot or plugins who do exactly that. We do lazy pulling, and we are only pulling the essential parts of the archive. There are many alternatives. There's StarGZ, SOCI. So basically, each one introduces a different way to store container images. Also, CVMFS comes with a dedicated snapshotter, and it provides a way to publish container images in an unpacked format, which is also compressed and deduplicated. It works with Docker, Uptainer, and Podman. And also some overview here of the main repository at CERN that is providing unpacked container images is unpack.cern.ch. You can see that it's broadly adapted from 2022 up until now. If it's not visible, well. But we have reached an order of 12 terabytes of compressed and deduplicated images, more than 120 million files, which would correspond to more than a petabyte of logical data if they were not deduplicated. So I'll pass the stage here to Andre, who has some nice demos.
100x the compression ratio, just yeah. That's cool.
Yes. Okay.
So this is a practical demonstration of lazy pooling of container images, which George has just introduced. So this is all it takes on a fresh CVMFS install to actually use this unpacked CERN-CH repository. You shouldn't be using it in production, but you can do that. So basically, we issue podman command. It's just an example that you can use it with podman. It's nothing special with podman to do that. So you just give it some tempdir to mount its rootfs, then you specify this CVMFS mount point location, which includes the path to image directory, and then you give it a command. And so here we just load a particular module with a Python, and it took us 25 seconds. And in our cache, CVMFS cache, in the end there is 600 megabytes. But the whole image is over 1 gigabyte, so we saved downloading 400 megabytes, like this. So, and this is just normal pooling. So even on a very fast gigabit uplink connection, it took like over a minute to download it. And in fact, it can end up like this. So this is also part of motivation behind lazy pooling, to avoid situations like this, to have to go on cleanup expeditions or resize your machines with that. There exists documentation for lazy pooling of containers with the CVMFS. Upstream, check the links in slides. KubeCon 25 had a great talk by Valentin. So slides and video of that are available. So here we want to introduce another new set of tools modeled after popular file utilities, which offer the convenience of a direct effect on a CVMFS repo. So it can be seen as easier to use tools. They may provide speed ups in some modes. They can help avoid running out of disk space in a scratch area when you are updating CVMFS repo contents. So this will become clearer in a bit. So the usual way to change the contents involves the three stages. So you give it a command, CVMFS server transaction. You make changes in the particular directory, and then you issue the command CVMFS server publish, and then the changes after that would become available to clients who mount your repository. So this is how it looks. So usually you have mount read-only of CVMFS, and then with the transaction command, CVMFS mount stays read-only, but your overlay is remounted read-write, so you then can jump into this directory and do your changes. So overlay FS then puts them, so they appear in this directory, but in fact CVMFS itself still doesn't have this content, but this directory handled by overlay FS, which is called scratch dir, it holds this temporarily. So then we issue this command, and then it is uploaded into the primary storage. So here we add 4 gigabyte file to S3 backed CVMFS repository. S3 doesn't necessarily mean Amazon. Many implementations work. So these are the three stages we've just seen. And now is the new tool, CMFS rsync, which works slightly differently. So we uploaded it, so we issued the command, and then it's there, and it never goes into the scratch area. So how that works? So it uploads files to S3 directly. It pushes metadata changes to CPMFS gateway host. This is a separate service which might be present in simple and in simple setups. It might be not in use at all. So and then it waits for new CPMFS revision to become visible from the client standpoint. So speaking of S3 implementations, so many protocol implementations work. I know Ceph works. I checked Garage works. Mineo, Azure, as I read, it works, but with a Quirk. So again, yeah. Ooh, how comes? Yeah. Okay, so but was this visible?
Yeah. Right?
Okay. Okay. So CMFS POSIX tools at the moment are still in a pull request, but you know where it is now. So time for questions, and again, don't forget these two other related events if you want to know more. So questions? Quite okay.
Yes. The unpacked .7.ch is quite big, even with all the deduplication and the compression. It's still 12 gigabytes. Mm-hmm. Does that cause trouble in practice when managing that repository? Or?
Good question.
Yes, so the size of Unpacked is quite big, and if you have troubles with its management, short answer is yes. There is some technicalities. I think it's some implementation-specific details that we can improve somehow to make it okay, maybe we don't have the time right here to introduce how catalogs work, but maybe we want to do the unpacking at the catalog level. And we hope that this will just ease a lot the publication process of unpacked images and maintenance.
So you demonstrated in the beginning, you talked about having a large amount of data produced at the accelerator, but then we really switched over to just the software stack. Do you provide, at least that's most of the talk is about providing the software, do you also provide storage?
Yes. So there's it was primarily designed and used for software distribution, but then there is the possibility to distribute static data, and also you can distribute static data that have already been stored elsewhere. So the idea is there's the external. External data distribution. The catalogs are generated in a repository the same way it would have been done like publishing software, and then it can be accessed by the client directly where they live. And I think by default not in a content addressable format anymore. So if we go via the local process of publishing, it will be the normal one. It will be content addressable. If not, it will be just accessed the same way, but through the catalogs provided by the normal publishing, let's say.
Yes?
Hi. How does your Unpacked container reduce it direct to Kubernetes?
How Unpacked CERN-CH based container images interact with Kubernetes? You can use this. you can launch containers with these as long as you have a CVMFS mount, which I have no experience with Kubernetes. If you can set up a Kubernetes host or whatever that can launch the containers using this command, then yes, otherwise no.
There's a plugin that you can use.
Yeah, it's the container D snapshot that George mentioned.
The plugin that does this is the snapshotter that I mentioned just before.
I'm just removing files and damage collection works.
Okay, removing files. Okay, how does removing files and garbage collection works? So there is, by the process of publishing, there is a similar procedure to update the repositories on the server that they are, they leave, they exist. There is a chain of like before the data become available to the client. There is a series of proxies and then mirror servers, and then there is